debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. I wanted to share with you a thought. I think I have to be very careful in how I word this. And the question, will Liz Cheney be the one who saves the Republican Party? Now, originally, I wanted to ask the question, will Liz Cheney be the one who saves the country? But obviously, it needs to go way beyond Liz Cheney. And I have no illusions that Liz Cheney is anything other than your standard issue pre-Trump Republican. In other words, you know, not all that worried about climate change or anything else, and you know, there for the billionaires, and yes, let's have another war, and all that kind of stuff, right, that the Republicans are all about. But a day before yesterday, Liz Cheney gave a speech at the Reagan Library that got a standing ovation from a group of Republicans. And I think this is a moment that you and I and the rest of America are going to look back on probably next December, after the elections, after the November elections, maybe in 2005, after the 2004 presidential elections. I'm not sure how rapidly the Republican Party is going to change. But I think that this speech that Liz Cheney gave yesterday or day before yesterday at the Reagan Library, or maybe 2 days, 3 days ago, was a major pivot point for the GOP. And yes, I realize, you know, this is not a program for Republican listeners, generally speaking, although we love our Republican listeners. And as I've said many times and demonstrate every day, if you call in and say that you disagree with me or you want to challenge me or you're a Republican, I will put you on the air before anybody else. It's not like C-SPAN where you've got to wait in line with a separate phone number. You just go right to the front of the line because I think it's so important that we have these conversations or debates or whatever it may be. But right now we've got a Republican Party, including its leadership, Ronna Romney McDaniel, who are completely in the thrall of, under the control of Donald Trump. Now that is rapidly changing. And the Trump faction of the party, you know who the usual suspects are, particularly the most outspoken ones, a number of them are going to remain loyal to Trump for a while on the hope that maybe, you know, when they get finally bounced out of Congress, Trump will give them a job or something. If they think Trump is going to be loyal to them, you know, I've got a bridge to sell them in Brooklyn. But in any case, some of them are going to hang out with Trump, but many of them are going to shift to the next authoritarian. Whether it's Ron DeSantis or Tom Cotton or Josh Hawley, I mean, you know, we'll see. Rick Scott, there are a few possibilities. Kristi Noem, Greg Abbott, these are the ones that are at the top of the list of potential 2024 Republican presidential nominees, who are all authoritarians as opposed to like Mitt Romney or Liz Cheney, you know, good old fashioned Republicans. And I say good in scare quotes. But I just want to share with you what she had to say. This is a truly extraordinary speech. She said, this is, again, at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation, and it was to a room full of Republicans, many of them elected officials. She said, "I know at this moment we are confronting a domestic threat that we have never faced before, and that is a former president who is attempting to unravel the foundation of our constitutional republic, and he is aided by Republican leaders and elected officials who have made themselves willing hostages to this dangerous and irrational man." So she starts out by laying out what she and the January 6th committee have found and are asserting. She goes on to say, "Some in my party are embracing former President Trump, and even after all we have seen, they are enabling his lies. Many urge that we do not confront Donald Trump, that we look away, and that is certainly the easier path. One only need look at the threats facing the witnesses that have come before our January 6th committee to understand the nature and magnitude of that threat. But to argue that the threat posed by Donald Trump can be ignored is to cast aside the responsibility that every citizen, everyone, must not do that. We cannot do that." So here she is saying, we have to confront the reality of this problem. Then she goes on, she says, "As the full picture is coming into view with the January 6th committee, it has become clear that the efforts Donald Trump oversaw and engaged in were even more chilling and more threatening than we could have imagined. As we have shown, Donald Trump attempted to overturn the presidential election and attempted to stay in office and prevent the peaceful transfer of power. He summoned the mob to Washington. He knew they were armed on January 6th. He knew they were angry, and he directed the violent mob to march on the Capitol in order to delay or prevent the counting of votes." So again, this is the sort of thing that you would pretty much expect from Liz Cheney, particularly given her position on the January 6th committee. But now it gets wild. Wild. I'm telling you, at the end of this speech, I'm going to read a few more sentences of it to you. At the end of this speech, she is basically claiming the mantle of feminism that Hillary Clinton holds. She said, "The reality we face today as Republicans, as we think about the choice in front of us, we have to choose because Republicans cannot be loyal to both Donald Trump and the Constitution at this moment." And the audience breaks into applause. After the applause fades out, she says, "We must not elect people who are more loyal to themselves or to power than they are to our Constitution." And again, the audience breaks into applause. And then she praises Cassidy Hutchinson for her bravery in testifying before the committee. And she finishes with this line. This is how she wraps up her speech. This is incredible. She says, this is Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick Cheney. She says, and I quote, "And I want to speak to every young girl watching tonight. The power is yours, and so is the responsibility. In our great nation, one individual can make all the difference, and each individual must try. There are no bystanders in a constitutional republic. And let me say this to the little girls and young women watching tonight. These days, for the most part, men are running the world, and it is really not going that well." And the crowd went nuts. Liz friggin' Cheney. "The men are running the world, and it's not going that well." Is Liz Cheney going to be the one who saves the Republican Party? I don't know, but what I'm seeing from this speech and the audience response to it is that Donald Trump and the corrupt toadies that he surrounded himself with are toast. Toast, with a capital T. They are toast. Now, you know, I realize, you know, what's the old saying? You know, reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated. I think that was Mark Twain. Who knows? We'll see. But I am predicting that the Republican Party is, you know, it has two choices. I mean, this is very much not unlike what happened with the Federalists in the 1820s. The Federalists had been so corrupted. John Adams was the second Federalist president and the last Federalist president. And John Adams, in the second year of his, or the beginning of the third year of his presidency, in 1798, passed the Alien and Sedition Acts and threw the publishers of 18 newspapers in prison for writing op-eds against him. In prison. And the Federalists embraced that fascist idea of America, and by 1820, they no longer existed. They were replaced by the Whigs, who, you know, were not anywhere near as neo-fascist as John Adams had become, but were still kind of, you know, the power of big business and the Northeastern elite of Wall Street and New York, basically, whereas the Democrats were the party of the slaveholding South. And the Whigs only lasted because the Whigs didn't take a position on slavery. The Whigs were all about, hey, who's going to make the most money for us? And Abraham Lincoln came along in 1856. You know, the Republican Party had their first meeting, and I believe it was in Jackson, Michigan, in 1856. And Abraham Lincoln came along and said, "No, we're gonna take a principled stand. We're going to establish a new political party." And that was the end of the Whigs. So, you know, the Republican Party is part of this long lineage, and they have the choice of going the way of the Federalists and the Whigs and being replaced by another party. I mean, America needs a party on the right. I hate to say it, but we need a party on the right. We need to have, honest, enthusiastic, open, above board, but honest is the magic word here, debates on the issues. And you can't do that with single party rule. Single party rule always ends up corrupted. No matter how wonderful your party is, it could be nothing but Bernie Sanders in the House and Senate. Bernie clones everywhere. And if it had absolute power, if it was the only political power, it would become corrupt. History tells us that back to the Greeks. So we need a Republican Party. But a fascist Republican Party? A strongman Republican Party, a corrupt Republican Party, it is doing amazing damage to this country. Now, that said, there are those who are trying to, so you got Liz Cheney trying to reinvent the Republican Party as basically just kind of, you know, the George Herbert Walker Bush Party or the Richard Nixon Party, the party of big business and great wealth. Then you've got Tucker Carlson and Fox News trying to reinvent the Republican Party as a post-Trump party, but now a fascist party. Well, I was going to pick up Dave's call here. He was supposed to be next because he called and he told Louise that he totally disagrees with me and I'm misrepresenting the Republicans. And I thought, oh, that'll be an interesting conversation. I'm looking forward to that. But this happens like 9 times out of 10. Conservatives call up and they tell the call screener, oh, I'm going to rip him a new one. I've got all the details. I'm ready for a debate. And they get put on hold, and after a minute or two, they just chicken out. I don't get it. I told you before the break that I was going to share with you how Mary Trump yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, suggested on live national television that her uncle, Donald Trump, wasn't just trying to frighten Mike Pence into carrying out Eastman's memo and declaring dueling electors and throw the election to the House. He wasn't just trying to frighten Pence, Trump. And that Trump wasn't just trying to get Pence away from the Capitol, although it appears that he was working with the Secret Service to do that. It was totally strange. Mike Pence refused to get the car, you'll recall. But Mary Trump says, no, there's a third thing here that my uncle was doing, that Donald Trump was doing. He was trying to get Mike Pence killed. And when he tweeted that Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what was necessary, that was the moment the crowd went nuts and started chanting, hang Mike Pence, and they had brought a gallows. They were planning murder. Now, why? Mary Trump says that they were planning murder because they wanted to stop the certification of the election, A, but more importantly, she believes that her uncle was looking for an excuse, Donald Trump was looking for an excuse, to declare a state of national emergency and suspend the Constitution. and arguably the assassination of the vice president and the Speaker of the House, because those were the two people that they were, that these right-wing militias, these the armed militia faction of the Republican Party was going, they, you know, they were going to kill Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence. Anyhow, picking up your phone calls here. Donna in Windsor, Connecticut. Hey, Donna, what's on your mind today?
Oh, I have a few things. My mother-in-law and my husband's a trucker, and when Trump did his tax cut things, he was trying to tell her that he is screwing us royally, you know, because he doesn't get his per diem.
Mm-hmm.
And she would not listen, and she was off to the, you know, the big Trumps at the, you know, the races there in Daytona and all her nonsense. But she wouldn't listen, and he was like, I'm not Fox News, I'm not CNN, I'm not any of that. I'm your son trying to tell you what he's been doing to us. No listening for her, but that's, an you know, like, it's kind of crazy. But also, when he was on the road, he would tell the other truckers, because they're all like, oh, my God, if we put that one in office, we're going to, they're going to take our guns. Well, he'd get on the CB and he'd tell them, oh, I thought already Obama took your guns. And, oh, my God, that would put the chatter on the CB. But
I can imagine.
Oh, you know, he used to really mess with them a lot. And then also, I was thinking when you had that trucker on there, that one, that protester one, he should have been doing, instead of being at the Capitol protesting that, he should have been trying to protest to get the truckers good pay and everything else.
Yeah, protest the Trump tax cut and you know, taking away the tax breaks for truckers. I'm with you. Donna, thank you for the call.
Al Franken had a funny thing on one of the programs last night. He said about Ron Johnson, he used his hand as, I'm on the phone. You know, that's how he used to say it. I'm on the phone.
Right.
It's kind of a cute little thing.
There you go. Donna, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Melver in Thunder City, Alabama. Hey, Melver, what?
You can't talk to them. Hmm. You can't change their mind. I'm 86 years old. I remember when the word brainwash was out in the public and people were fearful of that word. I mean, some of our military had been brainwashed and they had to be treated when they got home because they were in another mindset.
Oh, remember when Mitt Romney's dad went to Vietnam and came back and said he had been brainwashed? That was the end of his political career, but he said that the military had brainwashed him into supporting the war, and he realized it was a bad war. And George Romney, I remember that well, because I lived in Michigan at the time. This was, I think, maybe 69, 70. I'd have to go back and look at the year, but yeah, brainwashing. The fear of brainwashing was real, and concern about it, and use of the term. I get it, Melvin. I think you're absolutely right, and it's a sad state of affairs.
They're brainwashed by Fox News and by just talking to each other. They don't hear anything else.
Yeah, and it's amazing how much stuff is
in their mind. And unless there's a way found to educate these people and to get them to want, consider, hey, I may have been brainwashed. Things may not be the way I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Unless you can get them to think like that, I don't think you can change their mind.
I think you're right, Melvin.
And also, I agree with that person who suggested blackmail with Trump. Mm-hmm. I've thought this for a long time.
You think he's blackmailing some Republicans?
Trump is far more dangerous than any of us have realized.
Well, it makes sense to me that he's blackmailing Lindsey Graham, among others, but maybe Marco Rubio. Okay, Melvin, thank you very much. I don't know where to go with that beyond, yes, I get it. Lori in Cashiers, North Carolina. Hey, Lori, what's on your mind today?
I called because you posed a question about what's with the DOJ and why aren't they acting. First of all, I'd like kudos to the gal that brought up the blackmail. That's the only thing that ever made sense to me about the Trump administration.
Wow. We have a growing consensus here.
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing that made sense to me. He didn't need to do oppo research on Hillary. He just could do blackmailing on the Republicans.
Yeah. Call up Putin and get the dirt on the Republicans. And Ron Johnson, by the way, was one of the Republicans who spent the 4th of July in Moscow.
Well, I don't know all the
And maybe, there, maybe but, you know, there was seven Republican senators or maybe six senators and a member of the House who spent the 4th of July in Moscow, and they were put up in very fancy hotels. And there might be the equivalent of the PP tapes on them now. I mean, who knows? Maybe they were plied with hookers and videotaped.
It's the only thing that's ever made sense to me.
Yeah.
As outlandish as it sounded, it's the only thing that ever
It is starting
sense.
To make more and more sense to me, too. Yep. Lori, thank you very much.
Well, I called to talk about the DOJ and Congressional Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's going on there is this is backlash from the Iran-Contra hearings, where the DOJ had convicted Ali North of three federal felonies.
Yep.
But then the Congress gave him immunity, and they were no longer able to prosecute because there was no guarantee that that immunity hadn't been crossed in questioning.
You're right.
So I think the DOJ is just going to stand back until Congress does its thing, and then hopefully then they will step forward and say, now we will do our job. Once you guys are done with and satisfied with your report, now we can step forward.
Yeah.
Because they have received instruction from the Congress that there is nefarious action going on.
Yeah, it may be. I remember when Ali North, you know, after he got let off the hook, he became a right-wing radio talk show host. I remember G. Gordon Liddy. I met G. Gordon Liddy in New York City at one of the talkers' conventions. You know, there's an annual convention of the industry, as it were. And in fact, at that particular one, I think Sean Hannity had gotten the Freedom of Speech Award and gave a big speech to all of us. And I met G. Gordon Liddy, and I don't know if you've watched Gaslit, the series about Martha Mitchell and Watergate on, I think it's on Showtime. Maybe it's on Starz, whatever network it's on.
It was too slow for me, and I didn't want to relive the Watergate thing.
Oh, it's amazing, Lori. It really, after the first couple of episodes, it really picks up, and it's just, and Sean Penn is playing John Mitchell in there, you know, and what's the woman who's playing? Julia Roberts is playing,
is playing
Margaret Mitchell.
You know, there was too much in the press about, oh, this is like Watergate.
Yeah, no, I get it, but it's really, well, okay, maybe you're skeptical about it, Lori, but let me just say to anybody else who's listening, I loved it. Louise and I could not pry ourselves away from that. It was absolutely amazing. And frankly, from having met G. Gordon Liddy, I think he was accurately characterized in that movie. I mean, he was one of the weirdest people. Lori, thank you for the call. He was one of the weirdest people that I've ever met in my life. This guy, he was just like his military bearing and yet trying to be this talk show host. I mean, it was just weird. I don't know how to describe it beyond that. Rick in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Rick, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I heard that the state of Texas, among its other decisions, has decided that they have the right to secede from the nation.
It wasn't the state of Texas. It was the Texas Republican Party, one of the platform planks that they approved in their meeting this last weekend, was that Texas should secede from the country unless the country basically gets taken over by right-wing fascists.
That is just so bizarre, knowing what I know about the Civil War.
Yeah.
You think you've heard it all? Guess what? You have not.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rick. Just the fact that they're willing to use language that led to the death of almost 700,000 Americans is breathtaking.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Rick, thanks a lot for the call. Good point. Excellent point. Well made. Thank you. Dave in Los Angeles. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind today?
Hey, thanks for the time. It's funny. There was another Dave that was that you were, who was a Republican, I guess, apologist. And so just also from L.A. Not me, but in his defense, you know, I wanted to say I 100% sympathize, you know, with all the anger, disbelief, disgust, self-sacrifice. Anyone, you know, who is smart enough to realize the deck's stacked, you know, certainly on the Republican Party. So I'm happy to take up his thing and argue in favor of any policies that, you know, you might find ridiculous or anybody else. My second topic, and let's say that's the first one, defend that. Poor Dave from L.A. is actually, we're all doing okay. And the other one is that I have, you know, no belief in the system that the system at all. I never had it. I didn't have it 20 years ago, but used to have a place to put my energy and sort of show my kids, hey, this is a way to go. And I don't have a way to show them now, you know, that doesn't involve eventually some sort of corporate personhood or, you know, the voting is all screwed up. I don't have like a way to go to say this is what we should fight for. That includes love and brotherhood and a vision of all humanity, you know, just a religious vision or a factual vision. We're all the same and we love everybody. We love Trump, you know, and so I don't have a place for that that I can live by. So that's my real question. But also I'm willing to take anything on and speak for that previous day.
No, I'm sorry to hear that. In my opinion, you know, we have a two-party system in this country because we have first-past-the-post winner-take-all elections. So that always produces a two-party system. And so you basically have a choice. You can join up with the Republicans or you can join up with the Democrats if you want to have any meaningful impact. And there are ways in the Democratic Party. It varies from state to state, and it's probably a little more difficult in Los Angeles than it is in other places. Yeah. But there are ways to get inside the Democratic Party. Becoming a precinct committee person is the top of the list, and actually have a significant impact and have a lot of influence. And so, you know, if you want to have that legacy of activism that you can, you know, tell your kids about and get them excited about, that would be what I would do. Alternatively, there's some great groups out there. Democracy for America, Our Revolution, Indivisible.
Move to amend, just to say the constitutional amendment.
Move to amend is a great organization. Move to amend.org.
That's what I need to first get out of that two-party system, because that two-party system, you know, that's my primary goal if I had to live my whole life for it. That's what I say my kids to do too.
Well, if you want to get out of the two-party system, then hook up with somebody who's, you know, inside the Democratic Party who's promoting ranked choice voting, because that's going to be a hell of a lot easier to pass. You can pass that with simple legislation, state by state, and in fact, you've got over 300 communities in the United States and, you know, San Francisco, the largest city to have it, you know, where it's working. And so, you know, step by step, Dave, that will get rid of your two-party system right there. Suddenly you'll have multiple parties participating actively. Doug in Fort Collins, Colorado. Hey, Doug, thanks for watching this on YouTube. What's up?
Hey, how you doing today, Tom?
Good.
You had a caller at the beginning of the show that said something about the fraudulent electors in 2016.
Yeah, I think a couple of people on Twitter have said to me that what he was asking about were the faithless electors as opposed to fraudulent electors, and I completely misunderstood what he was saying, apparently.
Yeah, I remembered it. It was faithless electors, and back then, just because you were an elector, you did not have to cast your vote the way the state appointed you to.
That is still the law, yes.
Is it still? I thought the Supreme Court changed that and said you must vote as you're appointed.
Really? There's a wiki on faithless electors in the 2016 election. It's titled Faithless Electors in the 2016 United States Presidential Election. And I thought that the Supreme Court, let me just click on the legal challenges piece of this. in Colorado. The Supreme Court granted cert for these cases. Sotomayor's recused. Oral arguments has been scheduled for May 13th, July 20th, the Supreme Court. On July 6th, 2020, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that states may require an elector to vote for the candidate to whom they are pledged, and a fine imposed for an elector for breaching a pledge is not unlawful. So what the Supreme Court decided is that states would have to pass laws penalizing electors who are faithless. I don't know if any states have actually done that. Do you?
Not that I'm aware of, and I thought it was a federal level. I'm glad to know it was more on a state-by-state basis.
Right. Yeah, this is what they said, is that states may require an elector to vote for the candidate to whom they are pledged, and a fine may be imposed for an elector for breaching a pledge that is not unlawful. So it's up to basically they threw it back to the states. But thanks for catching that. I saw a couple of people on Twitter also, you know, flagged it for me, and that's how I got to that website during the break and figured out that I had messed up. I'd misunderstood the guy's question. Thank you for that, Doug. Great to
hear
from you.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, good talking to you. Liz in Redmond, Washington. Hey, Liz, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I just want to agree with Trump blackmailing everybody.
Trump what? Everybody?
Blackmailing.
Oh, blackmailing. Oh, you think he's blackmailing Republicans?
You know, I've thought this for years.
See, I just think they're happy to go along with fascism.
Well, I'm sure they are that, too. But when you can, you know, twist the thumbscrews, you do it. Yeah. And with him being, you know, in the casino business and then his friendship with Epstein, I mean, it's just par for the course, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's possible even that Jeffrey Epstein provided Donald Trump with blackmail information. Oh.
Well,
God only knows.
Divided each other with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I suppose it's possible, Liz. It's possible. Thank you for the call. Tom in Seattle. Hey, Tom, thanks for watching Free Speech. What's up?
Yeah, that congressman who took tours through the Capitol the day before the...
Yeah, Barry Loudermilk of Georgia.
Yes. Well, were you aware that Michelle Bachmann was giving tours, if you remember her?
You mean on... you know, she was not in Congress in 2020.
No, she was retired, but she was still able to give tours.
Really? She gave tours
leading
up to January 20th or January 6th, 2021?
She gave a tour on the 5th, and this was a little bit after the 6th that she said this on the radio. I believe she was there on the 6th also.
Whoa.
But I'm not sure about that, but of course she was quick to remind us that the people causing the trouble were all Democrats just leading the poor innocent Republicans into the deal.
Like lambs to slaughter, yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Tom.
I haven't heard... Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I haven't heard anyone mention that.
Yeah, neither have I. And I'm, you know, it's something to look up during the next break. Tom, thanks a lot for the call. Michelle Bachmann, holy cow. I read recently that she's still on her hobby horse about gay conversion therapy. I mean, it's just talk about a toxic person. Speaking the truth, Fox News would rather you didn't know all about. We'll be right back. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So a lot going on here, and of course there's still an awful lot to discuss about what's going on with Ron Johnson, what's going on with Andy Biggs, the two legislators who were specifically called out. Ron Johnson has just been spinning. I mean, just trying to get as far away from this thing as he can. It's fascinating to watch. What I'm wondering is if you know anybody, any Republicans at all, anybody who voted for Trump, who has been influenced by these hearings, or are we so tribal, are we so locked in that these hearings are essentially meaningless? I mean, you know, they're certainly pissing off a lot of Democrats, but what's the consequence of this going to be? I would argue they're also building a really, really good case for the criminal prosecution of Donald Trump. And the fact that the Justice Department is reaching out to them and saying, hey, can you send us those transcripts, please, tells us that the Justice Department is thinking so, too. But I'm with Congress. I'm with Chairman Thompson, Benny Thompson here, in saying, you know, you guys want to talk to our witnesses? Fine. Convene your own damn grand jury. Because if the Justice Department convenes a grand jury and starts gathering this information, they're going to be obligated to follow through with prosecutions. If they just get the paperwork from the committee, they don't have to do anything. They could just read it and go, oh, yeah, okay, very interesting. Thank you very much. So I think, and now this is just my opinion, I may well be wrong on this, but I think that, you know, Benny Thompson and friends, I think that they're trying to basically force the Justice Department into doing their damn job. So, you know, we'll see. Let me pick up some of your phone calls here and see what you have to think, you know, say, think and say about all this stuff. Ken in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Ken, what's on your mind today?
Actually, I got two things. One, kind of agree and disagree with what you just said. Yes, he deserves to be prosecuted. I mean, they got the man on video, they got him on tape, they got...
You're talking Trump.
If it was a normal person, they'd be gone.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, Trump. But here's the problem. We didn't prosecute Nixon. We didn't prosecute Bush. I mean, Cheney got away with shooting a man in the face and telling the cops to go away. Okay,
right.
I don't think they're going to touch him. I don't think they're going to touch him because I don't think they want to set precedent, for one. Okay, I mean, yes, the man is guilty of sin. Everybody knows it. And unfortunately, we become so tribal that I don't believe they're going to touch him. The lower guys, yeah, they're going to say, okay, we put a bunch of people in jail, but that's it. The upper guys, they're rich, white, and Republican, and unfortunately, that's who gets away with it.
Yeah,
I do got one thing I got to say on a different subject, and it's something I've noticed for years. I've got a really right-leaning stepbrother who I argue with often, and we both used to do this job. I'm a truck driver, okay? I am your supply chain. There's nothing in this country that gets anywhere without touching a truck. In 2018, when Donald Trump put through his tax cuts, okay, he slipped one in that nobody's talked about, and that is this. In 2018, I was told when I filed my taxes, this will be the last year that you're able to deduct your equipment, my GPS, which runs $500, my radio, $200, everything else I need, okay, because I have to have certain things to do this job. I'm talking on a headset right now because it's a $2,000 fine if I don't. And we also used to get a certain amount for being away from our families every day and away and having to eat out every day. Donald Trump took those away.
Right.
In 2019, we were no longer allowed to deduct those. Most of the guys who've been out here for years, I've been out here for 30, okay? We're talking guys who've been out here for 40 and 50 years because one was my dad, all right? They looked at it, and then you throw a pandemic on top of it, and they go, it's not worth it anymore. And you just slip the throat of your own supply chain. We may not make anything anymore in this country, which is wrong. We need to go back, okay? But your supplies are staying right off the coast. They don't have any place to put them in the ports because they don't have guys like myself to pull the containers out of the ports to the locations where they can bring in the new stuff. Automatic supply chain issues.
Yeah, I absolutely get it, Ken. And when Trump did that, or Congress did that with Trump's tax cuts, now, I got a lot of calls from truckers back in 2018 when that happened, early 2019 when the impact of it became obvious. I was surprised, frankly, and I continue to be surprised, that truckers, by and large, still support Trump. Can you explain that? He screwed you guys badly.
Most of these guys who come out and do truck driving are ex-military, okay? 98% of the military, because I was raised around the military for 23 years in the Air Force. My dad was a diehard Republican. We had many a conversation because I'm an independent, always have been. But, you know, most of these guys come out here, they hear the BS. You know, my stepbrother, the first words out of his mouth, every time a Democrat has gotten into office in my lifetime, they're coming for your guns. It's a boogeyman.
Right.
You know, the Republicans.
So you think that even though the Republicans screwed truck drivers, the tribalism is going to prevent them from abandoning the Republicans?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, I totally get it, Ken.
You know, what I've seen with a lot of Republicans, and this unfortunately includes relatives, is that Donald Trump is not that stupid. He has not gotten as far as he's gotten without having a brain in his head. But
he's a very slick con man.
You are. Yeah, and they believe you are that stupid. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't discuss politics in truck stops or religion, because it'll get you into fighting every time.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay?
I get it.
But every truck stop I go into, same thing, Fox News.
Yep.
And but that's what I wanted to say. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Keep on trucking there. Sandra in Boston, Massachusetts. Watch this on Free Speech TV. Hey, Sandra, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Seriously, I can't listen to any more talk about not holding Trump accountable. I mean, in one breath we say, hey, nobody's above the law. I mean, even Nixon had to resign.
Yep.
But we're talking about, Robert Wright says, you know, it's going to create violence. We're already there. It's going to, you know, make the rift deeper. It's, again, that's a little too late.
I agree with you.
You don't think they're not going to do it again because we said, hey, shame on you, and wagged a finger at this guy. I mean, he's going to hang Pence. You know, I'm no fan of Pence, but...
And behind him is coming Ron DeSantis, who is every bit as bad as Trump, but a whole lot slicker and smarter.
And do you think for one second that that's going to mean he's not going to press the issue and get as far away as he can, as much as he can get away with it? I mean, even Cipollone and his own people knew that he was committing these crimes, and they're high crimes, and nobody arrests them. Nobody does. Throw him in a hole. I worked in law enforcement. Throw him in a prison for a day. The guy who's throwing dishes at the valet, this isn't a guy I'm worried about. Okay, and his followers, I'm a mixed-race woman with a MAGA dad. The only thing they respect is strength. Right. And so it's a very nuanced situation because you say, hey, you know, how can he be racist? He's got black kids. You know, and he keeps trying to find a way to get us a get-out-of-jail-free card on the race war. You know, a dad, that's not really going to happen, bro. But at the end of the day, you know, you wonder why, you know, we have Herschel Walker. They respect the strength of some crazy football player. These people who are, their commercials show them busting in houses with AR-14s and 15s. And we're like, hey, guys, don't do that. Don't do that. It's not a good look for us. It's ridiculous. It's going to perpetuate. And these people, these kids that are shooting them up, you know, I tell people all the time, you know what the white supremacists hate more than people of color? White women. They shoot their moms first. They shoot grandma. They find women weak. These incel cats, they're doing the same thing. And the only people holding them account are women of color, Letitia James and others. And don't be fooled. I was talking to, I think it was Joyce, about how, I think it was Georgia, when they were signing in some crazy voter suppression law, they dragged that woman down the hall. Not because there aren't 700 doors to get you out in case of an emergency. We learned that from, you know, the Capitol. There's a lot of side doors, but they wanted to let everybody see them drag this woman down the hall, black woman, so she'd know her place.
And she was a state senator or state representative, was she not?
That's what I mean. Know your place. And do you really think that this, if this was a black president, they wouldn't lock them up that moment?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I listen to your stuff all the time where he talks about, you know, Reagan took down the gun laws because of Black Panthers.
Yeah, yeah.
Guns. I mean,
Bobby and Huey.
If this was a Muslim representative, you think we would be like, hey, and for a second, Trump was the first one to tell you, he's going to lock her up. And I believe him.
You know?
I'm tired of people saying, you know, what they think he meant. Why don't we work with what he's saying?
I agree. Sandra, I super agree with your point that the only thing these guys recognize or acknowledge is strength. You're absolutely right. Sandra, thank you. Very, 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 very on the point. Matt in Longmont, Colorado. Hey, Matt, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom, how are you today?
Good. What's on your mind?
First of all, just let me say thank you for all you do. Really, really enjoy your show.
Sure.
Been a long time listener. But I'm just curious how you feel about this situation I foresee coming, which is I think we're going to be in a situation where Republicans are going to be using our own words against us in 2024. We're arguing that the vice president and the role in the electoral process is ceremonial only, and that worked out well when we had, you know, I shouldn't say it worked out well, but, you know, things were made to work out well when we had competing electors. But as you've been talking about, you know, with these Secretary of States and potential Trump supporters coming into power, how do we handle that if they only send one state of select electors and now they're using our words against this, that, you know, there's nothing we can do. This is all a ceremonial process. The electors that are here despite the fact that the state lost. I'm just kind of curious.
No, I get what you're saying, Matt. And just let me just lay this out for people who may not understand what you're suggesting. If 2024 comes along, several states, I believe six states now, I could be wrong on the number, but it's in that neighborhood, have passed laws now or have laws pending that say that the state legislature can get around. Let me back up a little bit. The Constitution says that every state's legislature can decide which electors to send to Washington, D.C. So if you're just reading the Constitution, then, you know, Georgia, even if Trump lost Georgia could send Trump electors to Washington, D.C. The thing that has blown that up is that every single state in the union has passed a law saying that their electors must, or the electors that they will send to Washington, D.C., will be 100% of them, with the exception of Nebraska and Maine, where they split the state in half, but the same principle, that all of those electors will go with whichever candidate carried the majority of the state. So, and the Supreme Court has given, you know, states the power to even enforce that, you know, to put that into law. So now you've got five, six, seven states that have passed laws saying, yeah, we're going to soften that. The state legislature preserves its prerogative to send different electors other than who the citizens of the state elected. So we get to 2024, and Georgia, and let's say it's Trump v. Biden again. It probably won't be, but let's just say it is. And Georgia gets carried by Biden again. And the Georgia legislature says, screw that, we're going to send Trump electors to Washington, D.C. And so that's the only slate that shows up. Kamala Harris is opening the ballots. And she looks at this and she says, you know, I know that Georgia elected Joe Biden. And so I'm not going to certify these electors. Well, the problem is that the Electoral Count Act of 1887 says basically that it is a ceremonial role. That's why, I mean, if the Electoral Count Act had not been passed, John Eastman's scheme would have worked, because it did work in 1876 in that election. So they fixed that. So now it can't happen. So with that background then, Matt, are you suggesting that we should change the law so that Kamala Harris can throw out slates she doesn't think are legitimate? Or are you suggesting that we need to correct what the states are doing, where they're pre-planning their theft of the election? I think it's the latter.
I would hope we would deal with the states. You know, I don't want to see the law change to allow state electors to be thrown out by on a whim, because that's not going to help us in the long run.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm just concerned they're going to be using our words again. Well, you said last time, you know, that this is what, you know, it's a ceremonial process only, so you can't be contesting this. We're just going to go with what's here.
Well, I think that's going to be, that is the law, Matt. And that's not going to change. I don't, you know, although there is, you know, I got an email from one of the right-wing groups, FreedomWorks, saying that they wanted to change the Electoral Count Act. Maybe it's in anticipation of this. Matt, thanks for the call.
Listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
I remember thinking when I got that email a couple of weeks ago, like, why are Republicans wanting to change the Electoral Count Act? Matt might have just given us the answer.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Marcus in Chicago. Hey, Marcus, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good.
I want to make three quick points.
Mm-hmm.
These people that testified, other than the two women, they're no heroes. I'm going to tell you who the true heroes were, and there are three. Number one was Mariel Bowser.
Mariel Bowser, yeah. The mayor of Washington, D.C.
Yes, because she spoke often and loud for Black Lives Matters and Antifa to stay away from the Capitol on January 6th.
And by the way, she just won her primary election.
And they did, because if they hadn't, the chaos that would have been there would have led Trump to declare martial law, would have got him the delay that he wanted on the counting of the Electoral College and to flip everything back to the states.
I think you're right, Marcus.
Second was the Capitol Police officers.
Yep.
Because, you know, they fought like heck to keep those people from entering the building.
Yep.
And third, I don't know who they were, those two ladies that grabbed the box of Electoral College ballots and scurried them away, because if they could have captured those, same thing. Everything would have flipped back to the states and Trump would have gotten what he wanted.
Yep.
Those are the three heroes.
I'm with you. And the two congressional staffers who made off with the boxes, I'm not sure I've ever seen their names anywhere. Maybe they don't want their names out there because people get death threats.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Considering what's happening, no, do not release their name.
Yeah, I'm with
you. But those are the heroes.
Yep.
On January 6th.
Yep, absolutely. Marcus, perfect. Thank you very much. Michael in Bronx, New York. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Hi, Tom. A couple of things. First, it would be really interesting to see what names come up as to who was involved directly or indirectly with Trump with this attempted coup. And I think I said before, I suspect it'd probably be amongst the same names that in the impeachment trial sided with him.
You're talking about members of Congress.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
In the Senate and in the House, the Senate especially, since they're the ones that would vote to acquit or convict Trump. But going into what you were saying about this National Right to Life movement that call themselves Christian, now, speaking as a Christian, I'm telling you right now, they are a farce, an absolute farce. Not one peep out of them when it came to the violent insurrection on January 6th. Not one peep out of them with the massive gun massacres and mass shootings that have been going on that have been killing people, and the ongoing violence perpetrated by these Trumpers and these far-right GOPs. And amongst the victims, mind you, are expectant mothers and the unborn. not one peep out of these right-wingers, but they want to keep trivializing abortion. And you just got to say what's next, that they're going to start monitoring dialogue that's on the websites. Here's the scariest thought. What if they turn around and demand cameras inside each and every OBGYN examination room? Here's a woman that is supposed to be exposed for her doctor going through a regular checkup, and now she's got to be on camera as to
the. Yeah, I don't think they're going to go that far, Michael, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see a revival of what Mike Pence tried to do in Indiana, which is where doctors have to report to the state when a woman tests positive for pregnancy, and then the state begins to monitor that woman. I mean, I'm fully expecting something like that to be proposed. Thanks a lot for the call. John in Kashmir, Washington. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to run a theory by you on the January 6th situation.
Sure.
And why Trump sat still for so long, over 3 hours. What I believe probably was happening was the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers were acting as shock troops to go in and initiate the breach into the Capitol.
But we know that now. They were the first in.
Right. And after they had been in for a while, I think their goal was to try and find all it would have taken would have been one or two Congress people, Pence, anybody, and probably injure or murder them. And at that point, I believe they would have pulled out. Trump would have called for martial law and tried to act like the conquering, rescuing hero, and probably would have thrown his own people under the bus that were there who weren't involved with the Proud Boys and the Old Keepers and some of the more militant organizations there.
Well, that's interesting, because I was imagining that he would have basically embraced the Proud Boys, would have claimed that things would have been far worse if they hadn't been there, you know, made up some kind of lie, because they're like his SS. They're his personal shock troops. You're suggesting he would have thrown them under the bus. That's an interesting thing to consider.
No, I'm not suggesting that at all. What I'm suggesting is their goal was to go in and cause chaos, injure or murder somebody,
right,
one of the Congress people, pull out, and then he would have called out the National Guard and acted like he was a hero.
Give the Proud Boys enough time to get the hell out of Dodge first.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I get it. John, thank you. It makes perfect sense, actually. Debbie?
Yes, hi.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
I was wondering about why Trump has been able to avoid the consequences of his actions for so long. You know, state level, federal level, whatever. And the only thing I can come up with, and I've talked with family about this, is, well, he was in the hotel business. And maybe he's been involved in blackmail, because I just can't see.
You think he's been bugging hotel rooms and he's got the goods on a bunch of Republicans who stayed at the Trump Hotel?
Yes, absolutely. You know, or corporate people, who knows? But
it's the logical next step from the PP tapes, you know, where they thought, you know, Putin had bugged him in Russia.
Yeah, I've been talking with family members about it. I mean, the man has no charisma. He doesn't have that much money, I don't really believe.
I think he does now. He took in $1 billion during those 4 years he was president. He made a fortune off our government.
Yeah, right. You are right on that, but I wouldn't think that would account for this fawning, craven.
Yeah. I think they're afraid of his power with the base. And frankly, you've got a violent base. I mean, we're talking a fascist regime here, or a fascist movement, and fascist movements, you know, one of the cardinal characteristics is violence. And so, you know, I mean, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney now have to, everywhere they go, they have to have a security detail. They can't give public speeches any longer. They've had to dial back public events. So you know, Liz Cheney's running for re-election, and she can't do public events because there's been so many credible death threats against her. That's got to cause a lot of Republicans to think, you know, do I really want to, you know, face that?
They've been fawning and craving before the committee. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I fear for this country, and I really, really feel badly for this next generation coming along. But
Well, unless we can change things.
Yeah. I mean, Trump is so incredibly dangerous, and his followers are even worse.
I'm with you.
I don't know.
And the Republicans. So, you know, has anybody agreed with you that these people might be being blackmailed?
Yes. Huh. My mother, she's 91.
Yeah.
She goes back to remembering the McCarthy hearings.
Well, yeah, I actually, you know, blackmail has a long political tradition in American politics. I suppose it's possible. You know, the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. just changed hands. He just offloaded that. And so people are starting to go back. And in fact, Chef Jose Andres is going to be opening a restaurant in there. It would be interesting if the new owners did a sweep to see if there are bugs in any of the rooms or any evidence that there were, you know, because that was Republican Central for years.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Anyway, it's just a thought.
It's a fascinating one. Debbie, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Huh. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past Trump. Actually, I wouldn't put it past Don Jr. or Eric. You know, a little voyeurism, maybe. Alfredo in Mountain View, California. Hey, Alfredo, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for you regarding Gore v. Bush. What are your thoughts about this unhinged Supreme Court is willing to, in my opinion, to give the next presidential election to the next Republican candidate? What are your thoughts on that? And if they lose the election, they're going to go to the Supreme Court and just hand the election to a Republican.
This is what they're going to decide next year. They just announced it, that they're taking a case that has to do with this doctrine, which is in the Constitution, that the states may decide how their electoral college votes are cast. And you've got a couple of states that have said, we're no longer going to cast our electoral college votes based on how people in our state vote. We're going to do it based on how our legislature votes. And I'm guessing the Supreme Court is going to say, yeah, that's what the Constitution says. You can go along with your legislature, which is going to give states controlled by Republicans, even if they're purple states, you know, like Georgia, which voted for Joe Biden, is going to give the people of Georgia the power, the Republicans in their legislature, the power to toss the election to the Republicans. They're setting up the theft of the 2024 election right now. And we need to do something about that. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today. Don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. Hope you have a wonderful 4th of July holiday, by the way. And we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.